Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to Paulistic Behind the Curtain, our opportunity to enter the world of theater and the arts. And Diana is about, Princess Diana. It's about her, and it starts back in 1981, goes through her death in 1997. But I got to tell you, it's phenomenal. I want to introduce you to the cast members. All the biggies from England are here, and along with the director of the show. Joining me for this discussion is, Diana herself, Kate McQuillan, joins us. Now, you know, you look a little bit more like Diana in the show than you're looking here, Kate. Could it be wiggery?
Yes, it could be.
And, of course, you performed at Theo before, Never Better, Secret Garden, just such great work. You're amazing in this show, and I want to acknowledge that. And joining you as your husband, Charles, Jack Saunders, this is your Theo debut, but I think we've seen you on a lot of cruises, right, Jack, like Royal Caribbean?
Yes, I was with Royal for a year before moving to Chicago.
Okay, I'm hearing the British accent. You know, you can drop it for the interview, right?
I refuse.
Okay. No, I'm just kidding, because, of course, I met you at opening. That's actually real.
It is. It was the main reason I was hired.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask Brent about that. It's kind of like, you know, it's on the qualifications, have a British accent or don't even bother. And I got to tell you, Jacqueline Grant, who plays Queen Elizabeth and Barbara Cortland, I think some people might have to be reminded who Barbara is, but Queen Elizabeth, it's just so amazing. And reminded me, look, I lived through this era. So some of you did, but you know, it takes you back to things that I had forgotten. And it's just so powerful, especially the pressure that got put on the Queen. We'll talk about that. And Colette Todd, are you the evil person in this? I don't know. You play Camilla and Charles True Love. And look, hey, you're queen today. So who am I to say anything? You got it going now. So, but we get the earlier days of Camilla when she had a life that a lot of people may not have remembered as well. And joining me as well, the co-director for the show, Brenda Didier, who has done so much. Brenda, I was going to read some of your credentials, but we'd have no time to talk about the show once I started talking about everything you've directed. Evita and Chess and Cats and Light in the Piazza and yada, yada, yada. Shakespeare and Goodman, on and on. So y'all have great credentials. Brenda, I want to start with you. Because first of all, you're listed as the co-director in the show because a sad moment, you had a co-director for this show who actually began and created Theo Ubuque Theater, Fred Anzavino, and just fill us in a little bit. Fred has left us, unfortunately, but his vision lives on in this show.
Oh my gosh. Fred, of course, he's been a mentor, a colleague, and a dear friend of mine for 16 years. Called me a year ago and said, I'm doing Diana. And I thought he meant Diana Ross. He goes, no, Diana. And he's wanted to do the show for years, Paul. And it took him about 3 years to get the rights. It was a very personal mission for him, surviving the AIDS, you know, epidemic as an AIDS survivor. So this show was, he admired her and he loved Diana so much, he wanted to bring it to a stage. He couldn't believe when he got the rights. And when he asked me to co-direct with him, I said, but it was horrible on Netflix. And I heard it was awful on Broadway. And he sent me one song. He goes, listen to I Will and call me back in 3 minutes and you tell me no. And I called him back and I said one word. I said two words, I will, and hung up. And that's how it began. And, you know, we cast the show together. He designed the show. He had a vision for the show. When Jack walked in, I think he even said to Jack, I like your accent. He goes, well, it's not an accent, you know, and we just fell in love with the four people that you see on the screen and our ensemble. And then his health was failing February, March. I don't know what it was. He wouldn't really share it with me, but he said to me over and over again, if something happens to me, promise me you'll get it up and you'll do it. I said, I will. And when I said it that time, sorry if I get emotional, I felt that he knew he wasn't going to make it. And I didn't want to let that on, but that's all I can say. And you know what? We have all, when I tell you this group of people and this cast, they're not only talented, credible people, they are kind and compassionate. And when we had to tell them in person that Fred had passed, there was an extra something, a motivation, I think, for all of us to work a little harder, a little kinder, and with a little bit more edge and bite. We were going to do this from hell or high water for Fred and for his audiences. He was thrilled to bring this to Chicago. And that's all I don't know. That's all I have right now.
Yeah, no, I've got you. We'll have to do an entire show on Fred one day and what he's meant to the theater community. Yeah. What I am happy to say is that what is now formally the Theo Ubuque Theater is now known as, go ahead and say it, Brenda.
The Fred Anzavino Theater.
Let's talk about the show because that's what Fred would want. And so let's start with Diana or Kate. Kate, look, I don't know how much of this you might remember, like in your world, in your life. You're perhaps a bit young, but let me ask you, taking on the role of Princess Diana, did you understand what she meant as a light in the world, or did you come to learn it as you learn this role?
I think when I first auditioned and decided to do it, I wasn't quite sure. I knew people really cared about her. I knew she was this huge like icon, and it really didn't register until like I called my mom and I was like, I got offered the role of Diana, and she was like, Princess Di, and my mother does not fangirl over anyone ever. And she was over the phone like so excited. She goes, oh my gosh, you have to do it. I love her. I love everything about her. And then as I, you know, started the rehearsal process, meeting everyone, and we started the rehearsal process with everyone saying, why did you do this show? What does Diana mean to you? And everyone went around the room and everyone had something special to say, especially Fred or Brenda also. And so I think as I went on, I realized how much of an impact she had on people and what she really did and how much she means to people.
And I'll tell you what, add the makeup, add the wig, but to be honest, you resemble her so much and it's important in the show that you do that. We don't want to fight, you know, go, ah, she doesn't look anything like her. No, you really do. And so we feel the character. And Jack, playing Charles, since you come authentically with the accent, you know, he's a mixed character, isn't he? Because we don't know whether to love or hate Charles, actually.
Yeah, no, I struggle on a daily basis with that same question. He's very all over the place in his emotions and in his feelings. It's such a interesting character to play.
Jacqueline, let's first talk about Barbara Cortland. Just who was she? She shows up from time to time within the show. Then we'll talk about what I consider to be the main role.
Yeah, Barbara is a historical romance novelist, and she's all that, I will say. She is over the top. I saw several interviews. She did a David Letterman actually interview, and she was dressed all in hot pink with jewels and everything that you could even imagine. So she is the funnest character I think I've ever played in my life.
And then we go to someone who might not be as fun, but Queen Elizabeth, who's so very important to the show. And, you know, it reminded me as I watched it, and I found myself, you know, talking with people afterwards and remembering things. Like, for example, talk about the dilemma the Queen has, because when Diana is killed, just to go to that moment, we don't see any of that played out in the
yeah.
show. The events have happened. But it reminded me, Queen Elizabeth was not going to give Diana her due. She had no choice but to respond to the call of the people.
She did. She waited a long time before she responded. And I've watched that video several times of when she did respond. And what I see in that video is really, she really did care about Diana. I know everything was just a disaster for the Queen and all she went through with both of them in trying to figure out how to fix things. But I really do feel, and I do play this in the show, how much she does care about Diana and how much she ultimately respected her. She bowed her head at the funeral. So,
yeah, and I think, listen, I'm not sure the world might look at the royal family today as it does, that Diana not even been a part of this, right? I mean, she kind of changed the world
really,
in so many ways. And Colette playing Camilla, I mean, yeah, it's today she is Queen of England, right? I mean, but back then, I mean, she, again, a very challenging figure because people love Diana so much that Camilla just stirred up a lot of negative stuff. How do you approach that?
I think that I've been trying to find Camilla as a woman who accepts her place in the system that she's set in. Her great-grandmother was the mistress to one of the former kings, and that is how Camilla and Charles met. You know, she actually...
Well, she has a history of this stuff.
Right, and so to her, she's just functioning within the system as her role has been told within that system, and so she is vilified. In her character description, it says, nobody's idea of a princess. And I think that that's exactly it, is that Diana is everybody's idea of how to light the world, and that Camilla found herself in love with Charles and Charles in love with her, but she could not be princess. She could not be that princess. And then how do you continue to find love when rampant infidelity is just normal within that system?
Brent, I want to talk about an example of how Fred influenced this show, because you're right. I wasn't going to say it because I like to love promote theater. But I will be honest, when I talk to people who have either seen the video of Diana on Netflix, wherever it is, and or saw the show, the reaction is the same. Ah, horrible. Right. And then my reaction is, no. It might have been because I never even saw it. But you don't want to miss this. It's a whole different world. But I have an example where you can prove that. There's a number in this show, and it's where Diana, God bless her, went to a hospital where she met with AIDS patients.
Yeah.
And in the original production, that was like a company number. Yeah. And Fred said to you, no.
He said, it's a conversation. Let's take away the music and the vocals and everything else. And just, we talked to each other. He said, I'll be Diana and you be, I think it was Graham in the script. And so we did, we talked about it. He said, let's keep it up close and personal as Theo does. Strip away everybody else and have a conversation. Then we looked at the pictures of Diana and the one patient and then Diana and the three patients. So we just wanted it to be that intimate, especially in the space. And then we talked to Carolyn about cutting the vocals out before the last picture and just having it be music. So you really just, because it almost feels like it's like a play within a play. I can't explain it. That scene is kind of a meat for Fred. That's why he did the show. If it wasn't in the show, I don't know if he would have done the show. He said that to me. Hmm. So it was just, and actually, I think we first staged it. I don't know if we can remember. It was very emotional, even when we first started. It wasn't, we had barely started staging. And by the end, when we finally found it, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. We've had many emotional moments during rehearsals with all of us for different reasons. But and I think you can't hear a pin drop in that audience when that happens.
Yeah, for those of us old enough to live through that era and to lose friends to AIDS and all of that, it's such a powerful, powerful scene. Kate, Diana as well was a complex character, right? I mean, so there because look, while she's doing things like meeting with AIDS patients, where just the world loved her for that, you know, she was cheating too, and has the moment. I totally like forgotten about the Andrew Morton book that's in the show and all of that. So there is a balance in Diana, right? There's this beloved part, but we could walk out just kind of going, she had a side.
Yeah, it's really fun. It was really fun to play with that because she's not perfect. No one is, and I think her biggest struggle is how do you operate within, like Colette was saying, how do you operate in this crazy world which she had no guidance really. And so I think talking through the book and kind of seeing the more sassy side, like when she has the big blowout with Camilla in Act Two, one of my favorite scenes, it's really fun to play maybe the more sassy side and maybe the more true emotional side of I can't be perfect, I'm just gonna be. And that's one of my favorite things to play with.
Yeah, Colette, do you think Camilla, is it about being in love with Charles? Does she hate Diana? What is the, because you have to wrestle with that if you're going to play this character. Where do you come out on that? Who's the villain for her? What's it all about?
I don't think she villainizes Diana. I think in a lot of ways she admires her in a lot of the ways that she is something that Camilla cannot be. And I think that there's some respect in that. I had someone say, oh, it's kind of like a Henry Higgins thing. It's an Eliza Doolittle that, you know, you're kind of picking her out to raise her up. And as I heard that, I was like, yeah, that's a really good way of describing it, of her role with Diana.
And Jacqueline, the queen, she's got this, I mean, she's got this kid she's got to deal with, right? I mean, she's very concerned. It's about the legacy. It's about the royal family. I'm not even sure how much it's about Charles, except he's messing it up for everybody.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think she really gave him so much leeway. I mean, really, 32 years old, that's, you know, that's pretty old for him not to be married and starting children and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think she definitely had a rough go with Charles, to say the least.
Yeah. Where I grew up, Charles or Jack, the rumors would start. Hey, yeah. We're going to take a break in the show, and we need to do that. But here's the thing. What I'd like to do is invite all of you to stay on, because we have another show called Iraq But Funny to talk about. But people who are really into this conversation, I'm not done with you. And they're not done with you. But stick with it on WGNRadio.com and all the other places, because our conversation will continue. Remember the Diana the Musical playing at Theo Ubuque through July 6th. And you can get tickets at theo-u.com. We'll put that on the screen. We'll be right back here on Paul Lisnick Behind the Curtain. We are back on Behind the Curtain, and I'm continuing my conversation with the cast of Diana the Musical, playing at Theo Ubuque. We kind of just call it Theo now, actually, but it's playing through July 6th. And Jack Saunders, you play Charles, and let me come to you. Again, for folks who know Charles, well, now we know him as King, but who went through those years, what is the challenge of playing some? Because Charles thinks he's right about a lot of things, right? I mean, in many ways, he got forced into this marriage in the first place with Diana. His true love is below you on the screen.
Yeah, what I find really interesting about playing him is that he was in love with Camilla from pretty much day one. And if I remember correctly, they were talking about like becoming engaged, but then he went off to do some military work, if I'm not mistaken. And then when he got back, she was engaged to someone else. And so he was like, well, what do I do? What do I do now? And what I find so interesting in this show especially is that him and Camilla come up with a kind of like a plan, like, well, you can marry Diana and, you know, always have me on the side and all will be hunky dory. And then like two songs later, it's revealed that like, oh no, this isn't going to work out. You have your own marriage to deal with, and you kind of see bricks that he didn't really place down himself begin to really crumble, and he loses control over everything. And I think ultimately leads to his spiral.
I love that you said two songs later, too, because I was in Argentina, Buenos Aires, a while back, and I remember being able, given the opportunity to stand on the balcony from, right, Evita, and I'm like singing Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, and they had to explain to me, you know, she really didn't sing that song. You know, like that didn't happen. Anyway, so two songs later, their life changes. And Jacqueline, coming back to you, is again, when I think of the Queen, I mean, to this day, I mean, she was so admired. She hasn't been gone all that long. Do you think people are watching your performance and connecting her back to Diana days and all that for those of us who live through it? Or do you think people are going with what are probably current memories? You all have current memories of the Queen, and taking that into this display.
Yeah, I do think that she became more loved over time and before her death. And she became, you know, even if you look at pictures of her, she smiled so much more in her later years. And I think she found more joy in her later years. So yes, I do think that when the audience watches it, and you know, the span of time in the 15 years, I go from a darker wig to a gray wig. So they see the progression of the character aging. And we've done a great job with the direction of the Queen, which I really love, because I have several little just one-liners to the audience that are quite humorous. And so I think that brings a lot more depth to that character and more just people being able to connect with her.
Brenda, when you direct a show that involves real people, you've done that before. I mean, you've done it with Evita, speaking of that show. But then again, sometimes you're directing cats and it's not exactly historic cats that we're thinking of. What is it? What is the challenge for you as a director? And we'll bring Fred in with his influence. But I mean, Fred, I think, was driven by the story. For you as a director, is there a challenge when you're saying, OK, Jack, Charles is real. We know him even today, so we can't ignore that. Or do you say, let's put all that aside. This is art. This is theater. Let's do the way we want to see Charles.
What you just said, it's taking something that's existed before at this time and place with these actors in this space and creating our own version and really diving into who Jack is. I like to talk to the actors about, what do you identify in yourself? That can you identify anything with Charles? Kate, do you have any Dianisms? Or what can you draw on when you have to go to those emotional places, that especially in a place like Theo, you have to be honest. There is no hiding. There's no far away. You have to connect and also make sure it's honest and grounded. But I think we find our own journey together. It's not just me on them, or we communicate. It's collaborative. And that's what makes, I think, special. Theo's shows are always special because of that. And for me as a director and Fred, he said, find the Holy Spirit in that space. Find the groundness. Strip all the, it doesn't matter if you wear a costume, a wig, makeup, lights. I want to know the truth first. And we can then add on the layers at second. Story first, always.
I've done lots of Theo shows, but it bears repeating because you just said it. Theo is an incredibly intimate space. And I always tend to sit at a table on the stage. So, Kate, I'm like inches from you. and I got to play with some of you. I mean, there are moments when, you'll come by and, I was going to let it go. Can we dance? You're literally right there. So you have to connect with the audience because there's no escaping it. You're not at the Cadillac Palace. And to me, this is a benefit of doing what you do to connect so well with us because you're inches away. It also helps as an audience member, even ensemble players. So you all are obviously principals, leads, but I look at ensembles papers, people like Nicholas Ian, who's one of the dancers. He just always catches me because there's this, the reactions, they're so in the scene. They don't get to not be in the scene in terms of what they're doing. And I think it's just incredible the way they do that. So Theo is a place, if you've never been there, you should, because even the previous location, it was still the same, very intimate space. That's always been what Fred is about. With Theo, it's intimacy. He wasn't looking for the bigger venue all the time. But you also said something interesting. So Jack, now I just have to come back to you, because since she said, what about you relates to Charles, and I just said negative stuff about Charles. So yeah, Jack, tell us, what is it about Jack that connects?
I think he was a really good father, and I'm not a father myself, but I'm really close with my niece and my nephew, and you can say a lot of negative things about Charles, but he does love his kids. And I think with the last thing he says in the show to Diana is that, like, you are a wonderful mother, no one can deny you that. And at least they might have had their differences as a couple, but I think they were very good parents together. And I really like that approach to him.
I also like this question. So let me ask each of you, Kate, what about Kate connected with Diana? Because there's the phenomenal world of Diana that we love, and there's that bit darker world who had an affair. What part of you connected with Diana?
I think the biggest thing, Cam, our assistant director, asked us what's like one sentence that like summarizes your whole character's arc, and mine was just like, find the love. And I think she was all about finding love, giving love, receiving love. And I think I related to that, and just leading with love and having that be the way that she changes the world. That's what I think her strongest like attribute was.
Okay. So far you're all going on the positive route. So that's a good thing. So Camilla, you've got a side. So what, Colette, what about Colette connected to Camilla? And by the way, if you actually answered these questions for Brenda when the show started, that's fine. I'm looking for your answer now, because you've been performing this now for a couple of weeks. I want to know now, what's the connection to Colette?
Well, I have gone through divorce, and I have gone through my share of marital dispute. And I think that I have a lot to relate with Camilla being a woman who's trying to, like Kate said, find love within the situation she finds herself. And that I think a lot of people like to villainize divorce and all of that. But I think that there's always three sides to every story, yours, mine, and the truth, right, in the middle. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what I'm trying to bring to Camilla, so that she's not really a villain. She's just trying to find love where she can.
Yeah, if you take the rest of the world watching it take place, and Camilla's like a lot of other people in this world who find themselves in that situation. This, unfortunately, was on the world stage. And so, Jacqueline, when you think of the queen, I don't know, is there a part of it? I guess my mind goes to she understood the impact of the royal family, that the world was watching that, because she missed the cue when it came to, I think she missed the cue, you tell me, about understanding how beloved Diana was, or she couldn't have done what she did at the end. I'm not sure she read it right until it was like, oh, crap, this is bigger than I think. But what about you connects to the queen or Barbara? You can pick one.
Well, it's really hard to connect yourself to the queen. actually, I do connect with her in a way, because she has people that she oversees. Her subjects are the people that she cares the most about. And my husband and I have our own business, and I feel like that I am in a position, not of power, but of something where you want to give to all the people who are helping you be who you are. And I think she always thought that about her subjects. And with Barbara, she's so, huge. She's just a huge personality. And I can be that sometimes.
Brenda, were any of those answers different, Brenda, from what you heard early on? Have we had any growth?
A lot of growth, yes. I think the answers were the same sometimes, but they're more elaborate now because they're living in it now. Now you're all living in it. You're not thinking about your notes, your wigs, your costume changes. It's starting to really feel. We always talk about taking, the page to the stage and then getting it out of your head starting to get it into your hearts. And that's what's exactly what happened at the right time with all of, with the four of you and the cast. So they're living in it. And it's so, and it's so believable and it's beautiful. I think that's why it's resonating with the audiences that come.
Yeah, you know,
they can relate. I think everybody in that audience can relate to someone in the show that has a story and an arc, because we're just, they're human beings. They're just people, just like any other family. They fight, they do things, it's messy. You know, it's sexy, it's funny, it's all the things that people are. And that's what I think Fred wanted. He comes from an Italian family who fought and loved and sang and ate, you know, and he said, these are the same people. It just, they were, again, the public, the scrutiny, the bigness of it all. But they're just people at the end of the day, just like you and I.
And by the way, just by show of hand, did any of you see the Netflix version some of you did. Okay. You did
not. Not me.
Oh, exactly. You're the only one, I think, that didn't raise your hand. Was that, that was a decision of choice then?
Yeah, it was.
And how many of the rest of you went, why are we doing this show? This looks terrible on Netflix. all right. Jess kind of like, I'm going to be honest about it. No, but that's okay. Because Brenda, the quote where I wanted to go, see, I think we can say that because now that we've seen this show, if we were doing this interview before the show opened, I'd be like, are you sure? But because we've seen this show, we now know how totally worth it is to go see it. It blows everything else away. Okay, Jack, go ahead.
I will say this. One thing that I think the... like, does the show a disservice on Netflix that I've been loving every single night because it's been so different, is that there is another character to the show and it's the audience every night. And you kind of have no choice but to face them in this kind of intimate venue. They're truly like another character in the show. And one thing about the Netflix show that there wasn't any audience interaction. So all the moments that are needing something, it felt very... dry. And so yeah, that's been my favorite thing about playing this show so far, as each night has been so different.
Well, you actually went to where I was going to take it. So Brenda, with you with this question, because here's the thing. Well, the other show was probably objectively not great, but what Jack just said about this connection to the audience, one, and especially Jacqueline's Barbara character, there are some elements in this character where, well, Brenda, is it directed that these characters play with the audience, or did that happen in a natural sort of way?
Well, specifically to Barbara, the top of Act Two, I looked at Ben and said, what if we embrace the cabaret space, which you love so much, and Barbara's number becomes a cabaret? It's a British burlesque, introducing James Hewitt. It looked at me, what? I'm not going to say an expletive. And he goes, just blank do it. You know. And so, yes. And then I think, as you move through the show, right, what do you direct to the audience? What do you not direct to the audience? There's a lot of asides that is so fun because, like you said, you're 2 feet away. The audience at Theo always tells me, and Fred as well, they don't feel like they're observers. They feel very much a part of it, almost like going to a Second City experience or the improv. You know, just it's very much like that. And it's funny. The show is very funny. It's campy. And they always ask Fred and I, especially some critics early on, are you going to lean into the series of Diana? Are you going to play it a tragedy or a comedy? I said, it's both. It's everything. 300 emotions can exist at the same time in any day, in any family. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to lean into all of it in an honest way. We're not going to push the envelope. We're just going to straightforward deliver it and see how it lands. And that first preview, I think we were all in shock. I looked at Cam, so they were gasping and cheering and they were in it. It was like a fight, kind of like, you know, main event where it's like Team Camilla, Team Diana, which side are you on? And that's so fun. Like Jack said, I think that's what makes the show special in that space. And this cast can all be stars on their own. They can all have their own cabaret like Barbara does. And that's what makes it fun, I think. For me, I'm on the, you don't see it. I wish you could all experience the show. But I've seen you watch each other, you know, in rehearsal. And so I see when they react. So I don't know. I just think it's going to get stronger and stronger as time goes on. I hope so.
It's so important. By the way, Jacqueline, as Barbara, you came so close to me as you're in this cabaret scene. I was eating some candy and I was going to like offer you some. I went, is that appropriate? Probably shouldn't, just because I would have loved to see how you played. Like, I can't right now, you know. And Kate, coming back to the pressure put on you as Diana, talk about that interaction with you. Because, I mean, look, I'm going to go with my own experience, okay? Again, because of my memories, when I see you, there's a moment in that show. I never try and give anything away. I'm always careful when I do this. Like I interviewed the cast of Dear Evan Hansen and I said ahead of time, is there anything I should not disclose? And one of the leads said, well, don't say that Connor dies. I'm like, Connor is dead in the first 5 seconds of the show. Why are we not going to say the kind. The whole show is about Connor is dead. So anyway, so I rejected that request. But there is a moment for you, for Diana, where you become Diana. Now I'm going to try, and it's a costume change. And so you have to know what I'm talking about. Maybe for you, it's like, well, that happens a lot. Okay, so for me, it's a change that happens behind a clothes rack.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're with me.
Yep.
That outfit, that I don't know who picked that out or whatever, but that moment, you become, for me, you become Diana. Are you impacted by the, Diana was known for her clothes and her dresses and whatever. Are you impacted by all that? Because that moment blew me away.
I think my favorite part of the show, not just because it's such a fabulous technical moment, but it really is, I think, for that first whole chunk of the show, she's really like, who is this person? And she's really struggling to figure it out. And that is really when she's like, you know what, this is who I am. And when she starts to embrace it. And it's really fun to get, like, again, audience reactions to it, because it is just so, like, I can't help but smile every night when I do it. I feel fabulous. And it does feel like this is a new version of who she is. This is the next step, which is really exciting and fun.
The night I was there, by the way, audience burst into applause.
Yeah.
At that moment. Is that a nightly thing?
I would say yes, it is.
That's good. Brenda, yeah. The costume, not describing it, let people experience it. But there was a costume. There had to be costume designers who said, this is what we need for that, right? Mm-hmm.
Patty Lazian, a brilliant costume designer, and we talked a lot with Fred as well, how to make that happen. And that space, I mean, I've done Dream Girls. I did the second act thing where, you know, Effie, you know, has a magnet. But we talked a lot about, you know, Kate isn't tall. We don't need a tall Diana, but she's also a dancer at heart. And that helps, I think, immensely, having a dancer understand her body and how to navigate quick changes on stage with incredible Caitlin support and our ensemble support. But that was a fun moment. And actually, that's the brilliance of the script. You don't see that Diana till the end of Act One. And she always she's reacting to everyone around her. Don't do this. Putting her in a bubble cage. And at that moment, she's the opposite. Now she becomes, they're reacting to her. So it's her moment to, like, snap, click, you know, it's her moment to look back. And that's why I think that moment's so brilliant. So yes, we worked with the costume designer. More of a Chanel moment, that moment, and then just kept going through. Thank God we had tall people to hide her at the end, you know, like back. And so it was all about, and I think as a choreographer as well, I think that's what Fred said. He goes, I don't want to deal with this number. You deal with that. Because it makes me too crazy to think about. And actually, when we first did it, Kate, it went so well.
Yeah.
Like we didn't have to do it again. We did it again because we wanted to make sure it wasn't just a fluke. It's so easy. And then Kate, so brilliant. She makes it look easy. And all the backstage help. I mean, they are all so brilliant as well. It would not happen without that backstage crew. They're incredible. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it takes a village. But yes, she becomes Diana. And it's so fun to watch Kate grow from a young Diana to, you know, an older version. And doing Jersey Boys, I remember we said, do we cast young? Do we cast old? What believability is here? And I think that with the Netflix version, as lovely as that woman was that played Diana, I just didn't buy that she was 19 from the get-go. And if you don't buy in 5 seconds, 10 seconds, you're not going to take the journey with her. And so Kate was, it was pretty easy to work with you. I mean, she has all the gifts. So, yeah.
You're right. Well, and that's what I said earlier. And when you're 3 inches away from Kate, if you can't buy her as Diana, I saw a show recently. I'm not going to even say it, but I'll tell you off camera. But I did not buy the lead character. And when you don't buy the lead character, you might as well go home because it's not going to work. Jack, is Charles jealous of Diana? I'll have the same question for the Queen, too. Oh. Well, I think Camilla's not. But is Charles jealous?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Yeah, I think. One of my favorite numbers to do every night is The World Fell in Love, where you literally see in the space of a number where he's like, he's proud of her and like, oh, well, like the public is loving her. And what are they thinking of me? and Camilla's like, oh, it's kind of hard to tell. And then when he greets the Welsh citizens, they're like, oh, actually, we don't care about you right now. And that's like the beginning of his descent. I think is that number in, and he is immensely jealous.
Yeah, I got to clear something up. Your bio, Jack, lists you as a Chicago native.
It shouldn't.
I swear I read that because I looked and went, "No, he's not." But you probably live here now.
I do.
That was probably British for I live here now in Chicago.
Yeah. No, this is all fake. I'm very, very method.
You're from the South Side.
Yeah.
And Jacqueline, the Queen, I won't worry about Barbara, but for the Queen for this, there too, I think, was a moment of, well, is it jealousy of Diana or is it a lack of awareness? Because the Queen and her corgis are locked up in a room, for a lot of years.
Yes.
Is there a jealousy or is it like she didn't get it?
I don't think it was jealousy. I think some of it was... I think some of it was just not wanting her to do things that weren't approved. And so, but I see so many pictures of her and the Queen and Diana together, and they're laughing and they're smiling and they just have a relationship. So I don't see it as jealousy. I see it more as she's just not doing what she's supposed to do as a princess.
Because of tradition. Because tradition would dictate what that needs
yes,
to be.
Yes.
And Colette, a question I have for you, this is, but I'm not sure you can answer this, but because Camilla lives today and we see Camilla today, we don't see her a lot actually, but we see Camilla today. I'm sort of curious, how does Camilla view her? If you were Camilla today, because you play her at a certain time of her life, what is her view of the world today? It has to influence, well, I guess you're playing a period, but nevertheless, it is your character. It's who she is today. Does that influence you at all? I guess I'll ask it that way. Is Camilla today any influence on how you want to play her back in the 90s?
You know, I really haven't considered that, but I have, like I said, tried to maybe just bring a little more awareness to how no one can accept her as queen. And even now it's like the monarchy is broken to some extent. And a lot of people seem to be blaming it on Camilla. And so anyway, with that kind of stereotype, I'm just trying not to play into that she, A, had any intention to really, you know, she doesn't ask to be queen. Never in this play do you see her asking for that, you know. So
yeah, I would have. Brenda, let me just ask you as a look forward. This show will close on July 6th, as I said. A new season is to come. This will be the first season moving ahead without Fred. But I'm just sort of curious, assuming you are very involved as things go on, what does Theo look like going forward after Diana?
What does it look like? Well, the board members and I have talked a lot about Fred's legacy. And there's going to be a selection committee choosing the next successor, you know, to take over Fred's shoes that are very big. We want to make sure we preserve what he created the last 27 years. And takes care of it and doesn't really change the brand too much, just continues on and surrounds the theater with people that love Fred, knew Fred, and we're going to continue forward. But we can't imagine Chicago without Theo and the Fred Anzimino Theater. It's going to be a village of people that are going to make sure Fred's vision continues on for next generations to come. That's what he wanted.
I have this idea because I'm kind of a sentimental person and so sometimes a little bit too schmaltzy. But every time I walk into Theo, my eyes go immediately to the last chair in the back row closest to the door there because, of course, as you know, that's where Fred sat every time. Yes. And there was a part of me when I walked in, even for your opening, I looked right at that. You forgot. And I looked right at that chair and it reminded me. And I have this theory I'll toss at you. That maybe, not that anybody can't sit there, there's so few seats in the theater, we need them all, but somehow that chair gets designated as a memory for Fred, because Lord knows anybody that was there for as many years as I've been coming, you look for him there. And he was kind of there, I think, on opening night as well. So I'll just toss it out because we're together and I get to tell you that and you do what you want with it. But
that's come up in conversations with people, you know, his family and the board as well and other subscribers and donors and passport members. We've talked about maybe he always had a special hat he wore. Maybe we, you know, name the seat and then have a hat. It's come up and I think it could be something that's going to happen.
Yeah, but I hope so. A quick word from all of you now before you get back to your worlds. Just the importance of doing this role. You all have, as I said, time didn't allow me to walk through all the things you've done. I mean, Jacqueline, Agnes of God, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, my Lord. Just these amazing roles. I'm sort of curious, where does this fit in? When you look at this, you go, this is a top memory. Or I'm going to start with you on this, Jacqueline, because the roles you played are so unbelievable. And I saw you in campaigns at Timeline. I just, amazing role. So where does playing... Again, Barbara, but the Queen, is this like a moment you'll always remember, or is like, hey, I get a lot of good roles. This is another one.
this is special. This is absolutely special. I have not done a musical in 22 years. And I have been doing drama for a really, really, really long time. And I love my drama. But this was such a fluke that I even sent an audition in. And then I went into the room and everybody was just spectacular. And I got the role and I cried. And so this definitely will go down as one of my most enjoyable experiences in Chicago theater, because the cast, the crew, everybody involved has just been a family, and I love them.
Colette, again, Aspects of Love, Next to Normal, with you did with Boho. I mean, again, some amazing roles. So say Little Night Music. Where does this fit in your plethora of experience as you will look back? As Camilla.
I feel like the universe wanted me to be here at this time with Fred. Fred and I have done 5 shows together, which feels like, for people who don't do theater, it's just that's a lot of time to get to share and grow and expand with someone. And Fred found me, I do believe, here in Chicago, and really gave me a lot of time to expose myself. And he pushed me in my acting and my authenticity. I've many times said that I love performing at Theo because when I breathe, I can hear the audience breathe and I can just feel that connection. And Fred taught me all of that, and I'm forever grateful. And so when this time came around, and it all lined up, I just feel like I was here to be part of this cycle with Fred because he's been so special to me, and that I want to share all of that, you know, with these younger actors who maybe didn't know him like the grandpa that I see him as.
If I were smart, I would end this discussion there. I'm not that smart, because it would be unfair to not let the other two step in. That was just such a beautiful answer. But Jack, I'll lighten the mood. How does this compare to the cruise ships? You've also done, I'm sorry, I just have fun with that. You've also done Alice by Heart with Coke Candy. I get other things, but the cruise ships are a fun thing.
Yeah. I mean, I loved doing the cruise ships for a while, but the main reason I left it was because I really miss telling stories. A lot of the cruise ships are just the flash. And I mean, this role in particular has been so meaty with like comedy and drama and vocally, it's been so challenging. It's been really fun to dive deep into a character again. So this is, I think, my favorite role to date.
Do you have to get rid of that English accent when you do other roles that were, you know?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Brenda gave you a gift on this one. And Kate, finally, for you. I mean, playing Diana, I would think this will be one you look back at. You played Leeds. You've been in such great shows like Secret Garden. But you look back and say, I'm going to guess this is one you'll always remember.
This is going to be a hard one, I think, to top. Not just because getting to play Diana is such a privilege, and it really has been so cool getting to learn about her and getting to kind of test all of my knowledge post-graduation. But I got to work with like the most incredible people, and I've learned so much from everybody in this process, and everybody has been so wonderful. And I could not have done the show without everybody. And I have so much love for every single person. So it's really going to be hard to top this experience.
Well, an amazing show. Brenda, by the way, did you know of my performing experience at Theo?
No, I did not.
Yes, I did. I did the voiceover for Grey Gardens. That was me, and the show closed, I think, before it opened. It was COVID. So I went in, recorded with Fred, worked with him that day. You know that voice, if you all know Grey Gardens, that voice you hear over the radio, that would have been me. So my Theo debut was ripped from me. And I simply want to point out that when you look ahead to the new shows and you need that voiceover or Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof, I'd like to point out, I am here for you.
Thank you. I will relay the message. Thank you.
You know when a director says, I'll take that under consideration.
We'll call you.
We'll call you. Diana the Musical, playing through July 6th at Theo at 721 Howard Street. Tickets at theo-u.com. You all are amazing. Please give my love to the rest of the cast. It was easy to pick you all for the show, but it was not easy to say no to everybody else that I wanted to have join us as well. Thank you. Continue to break legs. Have a great run. And I hope I'll talk to you all again soon in your next venture. Thanks for watching us here on Behind the Curtain.
Thank you.
Thank you.